Good morning, River Church. Welcome to TRC Online. I am so glad that you are joining us today on this amazing morning where we can just celebrate the goodness of God and just worship Him a little bit. I want to just take a moment and have a reflective bit of worship with you. Will you join me in that? Just for a little bit, I want you to actually close your eyes. Close your eyes. I want to talk to you a little bit about how amazing God is. You know, we read in Revelation that the Lord seated on the throne, and the elders and the things are surrounding Him, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." When they do that, they bow down before God, and they place their crowns at His feet. And then they get back up, and they do it all over again. They see Him and they worship. Well, I want you to, while your eyes are closed, picture a diamond. Whatever size, whatever it looks like, picture a diamond. It might be one of those big, huge ones that are displayed in museums, where as it spins, you can see the different colors as the light hits it, and it changes colors, and it's brilliant, and you can look into it. Or maybe you have a diamond ring that is really, really nice. You can see all the different sparkles in there. You know, when somebody is making that, cutting that diamond, each one of those cuts is called a facet, right? And so when the light shines through each one of those facets, you get to see a different aspect of that diamond. Well, I want to say that God, being holy, being infinite, being perfect, has an infinite amount of aspects to Him, an infinite amount of facets to his presence. And I want to just say that for a moment, would you just reflect on those aspects, those facets of God? We've been talking about so many different things of who God is, right? And what God is. God is so amazing. And when we begin to reflect, seriously look at how big, how infinite, how amazing our God is, we can't help but worship Him. And when we look upon the face of our King, our Lord and our Savior, we can't help but fall to our knees and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Lord, we are so amazed at who You are. And may You today continue to open our eyes to another facet, another aspect of You. We love You, God, and we just worship You this morning, saying thank You. Thank You for the love that You have for us. Thank You for all of the things that You are, and for just You. We love You, Lord, and we praise You this morning. Be with us now as we dig into the Word. May You speak to our hearts, and may we be transformed by Your Word today. God, we give You glory and praise You. Speak to us this morning in Your name. Amen. Hey, well, guys, I hope that you took some time to worship the Lord this morning. Took some time to just proclaim out loud, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Wherever you find yourself today, be it in your car, on your couch, in your living room, wherever it was, I pray that there was a moment where you were able to worship and reflect on all of the many aspects, the infinite amount of aspects or facets to who God is. Well, this morning we are continuing a series about who God is, and a discussion as we have just been looking at these different facets of God. And this morning is no different. I want to continue to look at these different pieces of God today, and to start off in kind of setting the stage for the day, I want to ask this question. How many of you like to wait for things? I think the answer is, you know, zero. Nobody likes to wait for anything. I know that in this generation, in these later generations, waiting is becoming even more and more and more of a struggle. We find ourselves in a culture of the immediate, where we can go on to our TVs and we can go into Netflix. We can watch whatever we want, whenever we want, and we don't have to wait for it. For too long, we can view these things, a movie that we want to watch, we can just click on it and we can watch it. We can go online and we can order something from Amazon, and within maybe a week, it'll show up. I mean, do you guys remember the days, an older generation, my generation and above, you guys remember the days when you would go and you would open up that Sears catalog or that Montgomery Ward catalog, and you would find that thing that you wanted, and you would either take out the order form out of the catalog, or you would call the 1-800 number and you would place the order, and within 3 to 5 weeks, that thing would show up. You really had to plan ahead back in the day. We have become a culture where we don't necessarily have to plan that far ahead in order to get things accomplished. It's pretty crazy how immediate things have become. We have a limited amount of patience anymore for things. It's the hot pocket versus the turkey dinner, as Andy likes to talk about, right? The hot pocket being the immediate, where you in 3 minutes can pull out a hot pocket out of your microwave, and it's lava hot on the outside and frozen on the inside, but it is immediate and you can be filled. Versus the turkey dinner, right, where you spend all day preparing this meal that is no joke consumed within like 10 to 30 minutes. But the idea being that you prepare all day for this amazing meal. And we have a hard time waiting for the amazing meal. And we will sacrifice the amazing for the immediate. It's what we do, right? Patience is tough for us. Some of us have waited a long time for loved ones to come home, or loved ones to change their habits, or loved ones to get saved. We have waited a long time, and it's a struggle for us to wait. It's hard for us to wait. We don't like to wait. And I'm no different. I struggle with waiting so much. But for God, patience is an aspect to who he is. So, when we look in the Bible, and it talks about this patience that God has, this God who is patient, the word that is used is macrothumia, and macrothumia is translated literally to long-suffering. It means long-suffering. So when we're talking about this idea of the patience of God, it is that he is having long-suffering for the things that are to come. There's a patience. And we can look at that through Scripture, right? In the Old Testament, there was this long-suffering that God had for the people of Israel as they're traveling all over the wilderness. He had patience for them and the bonehead things that they did. God had a patience, a long-suffering with David, and walked through things. Even when David fell short and sinned, right, and killed his buddy Uriah, and married his wife and had an affair with her and all these things, right? He being God, had patience for David. Were there consequences? Absolutely. But there was still patience. God just wasn't like, that's it, you're dead. It goes on, and when we look at the Second Testament, the New Testament, right, with Jesus continues to demonstrate this patience that is from God, right, with the people, with his disciples, with Peter, who continually put his foot in his mouth. Jesus continued to have a patience for his friend Peter. Or even Thomas, right? Thomas, who, after Jesus was resurrected, and Thomas was like, you know what? I'm not going to believe that Jesus was resurrected until I can actually touch the holes in Jesus's hands and feet and side. And Jesus comes up to Thomas and goes, you know, okay, Here you go. Here's the holes. He's patient. He's patient with you and with me. He continues to demonstrate that patience over and over and over. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a struggle for us, but for God, his patience is such a good thing. It is long-suffering. So God in his sovereignty has the ability to hang in there long after humanity gives up on a project. And for us today, I want to look at this patience and how we respond to it. So how do we respond to God's patience? There's a few different ways I want to look at today. And the first one is that many of us are puzzled by God's patience. We have a hard time reconciling this patience that God has with our life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because of our humanity, we can't see this long idea of presence from an aspect of God. We want to see the immediate. We want to see things happen now. We don't have the same perspective that God has. And so we can oftentimes ask the question, you know, well, how could a just God allow ... fill in the blank. How could God do that? How could a just God allow greed in the world? How could a just God allow war? How could a just God allow disease? How could a just God allow COVID to kill so many people, or the flu, or just car accidents? How could God allow people to struggle with addiction? How could God allow this stuff? How could a just God allow this? Well, an unbelieving world questions the nature of God. Applying human limits of patience to God, they can find it impossible to reconcile God's justice with his patience. It's because of those human sides, that human aspect, that human limit that we place on God, it's impossible to reconcile God's patience and his justice. But the patience of God should not be confused with a few things. I want to look at that. The patience of God should not be confused with ignorance. God is not ignorant to the things that are going on in this world. He knows full well what is happening out there and with everybody. Remember, God is omnipresent. He is with us. God says he'll never leave us or forsake us. So he is there whenever we are struggling. He is there whenever we are victorious. He is there. He was there in our past. He's there in our future. He is always with us, each and every one of us, all the time. This is a part of the wonder of God. And so he's not ignorant to the things that we are struggling with. God, we may think that God is weak when it comes to things like, yeah, he just can't handle the things that I'm struggling with. But in reality, God's power is reflected in the restraint that he shows towards mankind. The prophet Nahum captures this best when he writes this in Nahum 1:3. It says, "The Lord is slow to get angry, but his power is great, and he never lets the guilty go unpunished. He displays his power in the whirlwind and the storm. The billowing clouds are the dust beneath his feet." God is not weak. His patience, his ability to be slow to anger, is actually a demonstration of the greatness of who he is. Some people may think that God is just being apathetic, that he just doesn't care. Well, it would be easy to conclude that God simply doesn't think about this stuff or doesn't care about evil. But in fact, God's justice and wrath is being delayed and stored until the final judgment. Matthew 12:36 says, "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak." I mean, even your words get counted and stored up for the final day. And you might be saying, now wait, Mark, just hold on a second. I thought that when Jesus came, he came to set the captives free. He came so that no one would be condemned, but that he would save the world. So you're talking about this judgment that's going on. I don't understand what's happening here. And in Romans 2:3-5, it says this, just to kind of answer that question. "Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? And if you've got your Bible out, I would encourage you to highlight this next bit or to underline it or something. But it says, can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. The whole thing is that when Jesus came to set the captives free, he did. And we're going to get into this whole thing in just a second. But what we should be seeing is instead of being apathetic towards this and just kind of hanging back and going, whatever, you guys, I really don't care. You know, God thinking that way. No, he's saying, I'm holding I'm storing this up. Yes, I'm storing this up. But if you come to me, I'll wipe the slate clean. I'll let it go. If you come to me and ask for forgiveness, if you turn, and we're going to get to this, if you turn, I'll erase all of it. Because that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross and rose again. So remember this in Romans 2, 3 and 5, 3 through 5. Remember that. Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? His kindness, that patience is to help you draw near to the Lord. So people may think that God is ignorant. People may think that he is weak, or apathetic. People may even think that he is absent. And I know that there are songs that are sung about God being, you know, away or not a part of things, but God is not distant in anything. He's not a distant observer when his people are mistreated. He is present. When he confronted Paul on the road to Damascus, he said, "Why do you persecute me?" He's present when it comes to the persecution of his people. He's not going to just be this distant God out there just going, "Hey, you know, I'm out. I'm letting the world do its own thing for forever and ever and ever." He has a plan, and he is working out that plan for good, for the end, for a reconciled relationship with the Father, for all mankind. You have to choose whether or not you want to be a part and have that relationship. That's up to you. But he is not absent. Now, yeah, Paul was Saul. This is kind of confusing if you don't understand the story of who Paul is. But Paul, who was the guy that wrote most of the New Testament books, letters, Paul was this Pharisee that persecuted Christians, that hurt them, that tried to destroy Christianity from the very beginning of this whole thing. And he tried to break it up. He killed people. He beat them up. He ridiculed. He blasphemed Jesus. I mean, he did all of this stuff. And so, but he was first named Saul. That was his birth name. But then after his conversion to being a Christ follower, he then was, his name was changed to Paul, all right? So, but in this verse, Acts 9, starting verse 3, it says this: "As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" The thing is that God is not absent. He is present in all the time, in all the moments where those people who are being persecuted, he's with them. So, some people are puzzled. Many people are puzzled by God's patience. Some people are in this place of finding joy of this pursuance of patience. That when God is being patient with us, it is leading us more towards a relationship with God. And in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 14, it says this: "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus." You know, when God is patient, It should allow us to see that He is so good to each and every one of us. And in seeing that, it should draw us closer into relationship. You know, I think about Adam at the beginning of the Bible, at the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve sinned, right? When they fell short, when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they decided to do things on their own, and they turned their backs to God, thus starting this generational curse of sin in all of our lives. You know, God could have at that moment come crashing into the garden with a sword in hand and goes, Adam, I am so sick and tired of all this. You know, he could have just gone off and how could you do this? How could you eat that fruit? How could you sin against me? And he could have just been like, that's it, you're dead. Right at that moment. But how did God respond? Well, it talks about that he came in and he knew that Adam had done this. He knew that Adam and Eve had done this. He knew what was going on. He knew that Adam, that they had blown it. But he walks into the garden, and he knew where they were too, but he goes, where are you? Where are you? He walked in and lovingly challenged and was patient with Adam. Similarly, God's patience enables him to come after us, right? Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Excuse me. Here's what we're talking about today, guys. The patience of God is God choosing to delay His reaction to my sin so that I can reflect and repent of my sin. Let me say that again. God's choosing to delay His reaction to my sin so that I can reflect and repent of my sin. In Paul's experience of grace, God chose not to react to a bunch of different things. And Paul shares about this stuff through these verses. The first thing that God's grace did for Paul was, you know, Paul said, hey, he was a blasphemer, right? There was a character assassination. No doubt Paul cursed the name of Christ on many occasions during his active opposition to the gospel. And yet God held back His wrath towards Paul. God was long-suffering towards Paul. Paul's deprivation of human rights, right? He was a persecutor of Christ followers. Paul was guilty of doing all that he could to destroy the lives of those who chose to follow Christ. And yet again, God is long-suffering with Paul. Remember, he had a plan and he waited for Paul to get into a place to where Paul was ready to receive that grace from God, and it drew him closer to God. Also, Paul physically and verbally abused others. Talks about in verse 13 that he was violent. Paul was insolent and insulting before he was converted. And so all of these things Paul was doing before that moment on the road to Damascus. And after that moment, Paul's life was changed. Where is your Damascus moment? Many of you might be waiting for that today. Many of you might be in a place where you're going, I want to have this thing. If I actually had this road to Damascus moment where God just spoke to me and said, you know, hey, shape up, change. I mean, we may be praying for that for our loved ones, right? God, would you just speak to them? But because of God's patience, the hope is that there's this drawing close, that there is this time that as we walk through hardships, we recognize that we can't do it on our own. As we walk through these struggles, we may find that it's not possible for us to do this without God. And so we are drawn to God because of His patience, His loving kindness, when we understand that grace that God has for us, that He continues to have for us, that He's not condemning us, that He's not, He's holding back that judgment. And so when we do come to Him, He then can erase that nastiness, that judgment away from all of us. So those are the things that even Paul had hardships, even Paul had struggle, even Paul had things that he did wrong. But when he began to recognize that Jesus had held back that judgment from him, that was a moment where it drew him closer to God. And then, so we recognize that some of us are puzzled by God's patience. Some of us know that we are being pursued by the patience of God. And I want to say that others then recognize that they are powered by the patience of God. And it goes on, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, going into 15 and 16, it says, This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Save them from that final judgment. Christ came in to save them from that final judgment. And I am the worst of them, Paul says. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. As a result of God's patience with him, Paul was strengthened, literally empowered by Jesus Christ to do ministry. It was something that in Paul, when he began to recognize and reflect on this fact that God was patient with him, that God held back his wrath, that God didn't just squish him like a bug, but said, There's more to you, Paul. I have a bigger plan for you, and I'm going to wait until you get to that place to recognize that, and then we're going to go for it. When Paul reflected on all of that, that strengthened him, that allowed him to see, wow, God has a plan for me, and I'm going to walk out this plan with him. So, Paul was transformed by God's patience. And I want to just encourage you this morning, how many of you would like to be transformed by God's patience? How many of you recognize that God has been holding back so many things? There's so many things that you may have done in your life, so many things that you have fallen short, so many ways that you've sinned in your life and messed up, but yet God in his patience has been holding back his judgment, holding back that wrath and putting it aside, waiting for you to come to him. I hope that this is drawing you nearer to him. So to be transformed by the patience of God, what do we have to do? How can we be transformed? Well, the first thing is we need to admit that we've messed up. Paul did this, right? In verse 15, he talks about saying that I am the worst of them. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he goes on to say, I am the worst of them. We need to acknowledge the fact that we have sinned. And what's sin? We've missed the mark. We've not obeyed God. We've fallen short of God's direction in our life. We've disobeyed God. I mean, there's a lot of things that define what sin is, but basically it means this, that we've turned our back to God and said, not your way, but my way. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says that the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Jesus died on that cross, and 3 days later rose again, so that all of humanity could have the opportunity to come into relationship with God. Some people, though, will choose to not. Sadly, they'll go, yeah, I don't want that. They may have been hurt by somebody, or they may have gone through a struggle where they were praying to God and they weren't patient in seeing that God was doing other things, that they got angry. And that's okay. That's what happens. But yet we all have that choice to follow God or to not. To accept that salvation, to accept that forgiveness, or not. We have that opportunity. Not everybody will take it. But Jesus, in his loving kindness, holds back that judgment. He died on a cross so that we could have relationships, so that everyone could repent. So we need to admit that we're a sinner. The next thing is that we need to believe that his son, that God's son is Savior, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, Verse 16, it says, then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. May you today, when you discover in this patience and this loving kindness of God, when you understand that he is holding this stuff back, may you draw closer to him. May you acknowledge the fact that you've messed up. May you find and realize that Jesus is your Savior. And then, finally, conform to his purpose for your life. Paul saw this. Paul changed his life from being a persecutor of Christians to being one who would establish the church for the Gentiles, for those that were non-Jewish individuals. He was the one that helped people become Christ followers. I mean, talk about a conversion and a change of a change of direction for your life. That's what happened to Paul. Now, you might not find something that's that drastic in terms of your daily job, but when it comes to how you approach life, there will be transformation. Conform to God's purpose. And it says that he considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. You know, many of us want a road to Damascus moment. We'd like to have that when it comes to that relationship with God. We want to have that moment where God speaks to us and is like, hey, I'm here. Let's change things and let's go for it, right? And Paul had this terrible, scary moment where he fell on the ground because Jesus was like, what are you doing? You're messing with my people. And he was blind for 3 days. He didn't know that he would receive his sight again, but he went and he changed his life, and it was very dramatic, very radical in how Paul's life was transformed. For us, it may not be that radical. It may be a simple moment where we find that the life that we once lived no longer has meaning because of Christ. And because of God's patience for us, we recognize how much we do deserve, but because of Jesus' life and death and sacrifice for us and resurrection, we then can go back to a place of going, wow, he did that for me? I need to make some changes in my life, and I need to do something different. It could be a lot simpler and a lot less dramatic, like I said, than Paul, but I encourage you not to necessarily look for the Damascus moment, but just reflect on the patience and the goodness of God. So how are you responding to the patience of God today? Are you puzzled? Are you in that place? Are you just beginning to realize that God has been patient with you? Or are you living a new life because of his patience? This morning, wherever you are, I just want to encourage you to move forward in the first two, and if you're in the last area, give God thanks and praise for how he has demonstrated his goodness through his patience today. Well, thanks you guys for being a part of TRC Online. You know, I want to say that if you are with us and you want to admit that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus is a savior of all the world and give your life over to the Lord. You know, I want you just to comment below in the box and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to thank him for his patience for me. You know, that he wasn't wrathful, that he held back that judgment, and that he forgave you. You know, I want to say that if you want that, just type in the comments below. If you are wanting to have anything prayed for, please comment and let us know how we can pray for you. God is so good. And sometimes he holds back and we have to wait for things to happen. But his patience, man, it is such a good thing. It is such a good thing. Comment below. Give God praise for how he has been patient with you. Let us know some stories from your life of how God has been patient with you. If you want to continue to worship through your tithes and offerings with us, you can go online, trcdurango.com, and there you can give your tithes and offerings there. or on our app, which you can also find by going to trcdurango.com from your phone, and it'll walk you through the process of getting the app. Guys, thanks again for being a part of TRC Online today. We look forward to speaking with you again, and we will be back same time next Sunday. So God bless you guys. Have an amazing rest of your week. Take care.